But we are the Powells. I'm not the missionary. We are missionaries. You can't have one without the other. She's my partner. She's my cook. She's my tie fixer. She's my collar fixer. Sometimes she's my sock putter on her. It has been to the point that I couldn't put my socks on. Boy, I hated that. I had to get somebody to help me put my socks on. But I've had knee surgeries. I've had neck surgeries. Some of y'all might know who the $6 million man is. He was a TV show back in the 70s, and he was crashed, and they put parts in him. Well, I got parts. I got a new knee. I got 3.5 inches in my neck with 8 screws. They're made of platinum. So I told the wife, hey, whenever we get hard up for money, we need money, just get your pocket knife, you get the drill gun, take them suckers out. Sell it. I don't know what, you ever seen those bobbleheads in the back of somebody's car? I guess that's what I would be. I would be a bobblehead. But I get up in the morning and I put my parts on. I'm not going to do it, but if y'all want to do it, see it later, I can take my teeth out and show you. But I put my glasses on. I put my hearing aid in. I put my teeth in. I got parts I got to put together. But I can still serve God whether I got parts or no parts. I'm still going to serve God. About 6 weeks ago, maybe 2 months ago, I dropped my top plate. And when you drop plastic that's hard, it breaks. So for about 3 weeks, I was without my front teeth. All I want for Christmas is my 2 front teeth. Mine were 3. So as you notice, I'm not from North Yankee Land. I'm from the South, and it's hard to talk without your 2 front teeth. So put that into Spanish. My country comes out in Spanish. Este es el día que hizo Jehová. Nos gozaremos y alegremos en él. This is the day which the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So y'all pray for the missionaries to Mexico, the Powells. We've been down there 35 years. Please, if you have questions and I leave something out, I'll hang around as long as you want to, and I can answer questions for you about Mexico, about what we do, what we don't do, what we have done, what we haven't done, what we want to do, what we don't want to do. I think I got all that out. Ask me to say that again, and I can't. But ask questions. There's never a wrong question. I can answer all of them. What the famous thing for an answer to that? That's a great question. I don't know why people say that, but when somebody asks a question, that's a great question. So y'all pray for us. We've been down there 35 years. We're working on number 5 church plant. 3 of them were in 30 years, and 2's been in 2 years. So God has really been blessed. Our burden has been renewed. Our thoughts have been going, and we just got somebody behind us now that can back us, a ascending church that just blesses my heart on who we have behind us now, Harvest Baptist Church in Santa Fe with Brother Chris Rogers. And God is using us. I don't know why he would use Charlie Powell, but I know the reason he does is because of a willing heart. I don't know what else to do but serve God. I can't sit down and do nothing. Remember Jeremiah said it in Jeremiah chapter 20. I wanted to stop preaching. I just don't want to sit because ain't nobody listening. But he says it burned in my heart. I couldn't help but preach the gospel. So it's burning in my heart today. I got to go and preach the gospel. I've been preaching for 35 years. Far as I know, Brother Travis is the only one that has ever called me and say, come preach for us. Nobody calls Charlie Powell and says, come preach for us. I'm not that big name of a preacher. I'm not that best. I'm not here to entertain you. I'm not here to step on your toes. Lord, I don't want to bore you. But over 80 times in the book of Ezekiel, God told Ezekiel, I'm telling you this, that they might know that I am God. So I'm not here for you to see Charlie Powell. I'm here if you know who God is. I'm here for you to know that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Tell the news to far and wide. Jesus saves. Put it on the waves and let it roll. Jesus saves. He didn't tell me how much time I have. All right, so I might can make it 2 hours. But we've been in Hanos for July will be 2 years. Pray for July the 10th, 11th, and 12th. We have Brother Ruben Robles coming. He used to pastor in Casas Grandes. He's coming to preach a revival in Janos and in Monteverde. So pray for that we'll be able to have a good time then. It's kind of our second anniversary time. I'm not calling it that. I'm just calling it a revival. But it's our second anniversary thing. Last year we had our first anniversary on the 4th of July, I think. So I told them if anybody wanted to come down and do something on the 4th of July, if they wanted to celebrate the 4th of July, come to Mexico. And I'll put you to work. We can knock on doors. We can do whatever. I can get you to paint a fence, chop a weed, dig a mesquite bush out. Pray for Janos. Pray for Monteverde. You saw the vision that we have in Monteverde, that God give that to me when we were able to purchase that piece of property. And I just turned around and I saw what was there. I can see it in my brain. It's there. I want to have that. My vision is within 5 years. So God can meet that need. He wouldn't put that vision in our heart. Proverbs 29:18. I think it's what it was. Where there's no vision, what happens? The people perish. Anyway, y'all pray for today. I don't get out from behind the pulpit in English, and I don't know why. But in Spanish, I may be down there with you and talking to you. But in English, for some reason, I'm stuck. My feet don't move from here. So if I get out from behind the pulpit today, you'll get something special. You'll get the first in a lifetime it's ever happened. I feel more comfortable preaching in Spanish. My Spanish, I tell them, no es perfecto, pero es más mejor de nada. It's not perfect, but it's better than nothing. Some of the conjugations of the verbs, I mess up. But they say, we know what you're trying to get across. We know what you're saying. And some of the words I just cannot pronounce. It keeps the people involved. They're not going to fall asleep. Let's put it that way. You have your Bible. I hope you have your Bible. Don't come to church without a Bible. I have a pet peeve. There's a new thing going around. It's called a cell phone. There's 50 billion apps of different kind of apps you can put on a cell phone. Maybe 100 billion type of apps. I don't know. There's every kind of app you can ever imagine to put on your phone. And people put, I hope nobody's here today with it, but people put the Bible on their phone, right? And I have no problem with that. I have five Bibles on my phone. I have three Spanish and two English Bibles on my phone. But what happens? People are at church, and they're watching, they're listening to the preacher. They got the Bible on the phone. All of a sudden, they get a notification, an email, a text, or something. Oh, I wonder what that was. I missed it. What did the preacher say? Oh, I missed it. That's why I don't like you using your phone at church. I like to hear this. That paper rattling. Something in your hand, because it's not going to send you no notification of an email. It's going to send you a notification of the Spirit of God. So if you got that in your hand, so don't feel bad if you do have your cell phone this morning. You got a phone on it. Just pay attention to those notifications. Mark chapter 8. Did I say that? I got to hurry. I only have 25 pages. I told them in Sunday school, I'm an introvert, so I have to write things down. I can't memorize things. So I write my messages down. Sometimes I stick with the messages, and sometimes I don't. If I seem nervous, it's because I am. I've been preaching for 35 years, and I've never gotten over the nervousness. The bigger the crowd, the more nervous it is. Sometimes it'll come out in my voice. But y'all pray for me this morning. I'm not here to entertain you, like I said. I want you to know what God has to say. If you wanted a theme, a title, value of a soul. What's the value of a soul? Mark chapter 8. Sometimes I have to take my glasses off. If it's too far away, I can't read it. Yeah, I have bifocals too. Mark 8:34. Bible tells us, when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I've been preaching for 35 years and I've come to the conclusion, if you want help, pray. So let's pray. God, as I come to you today, asking for your words, your guidance, your spirit, Lord, use me today that someone would see what the value of a soul is today. Lord, if for someone here today that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, that today through my feeble words, that you can take the Spirit of God and convict their hearts with the Word of God. And Lord, they'd be able to see what it means to be saved, and they would call upon you before it's too late. Lord, as Christians, that we would see how important it is, how much value it is to a soul that's out there that's dying and going to hell. Lord, a place of fire and torment, a place that they'll be for an eternity. Lord, help us to see that and to understand that, Lord, we need to tell them about Jesus Christ. Lord, use me today that would be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. How much is a soul worth to me? How much is a soul worth to you? Genesis chapter 2, God says he breathed into man and man became a living soul. I'm going to tell you a little bit about my carnality. In the 1970s, there was a band called the Charlie Daniels Band. And they wrote a song and sang a song called The Devil Went Down to Georgia. The devil went down to Georgia and challenged Johnny to a fiddling test. A fiddle, violin, whatever you want to call it. A fiddling test. Johnny, if you win, I'll give you this golden fiddle. But if you lose, I get your soul. So they had their little shindig and Johnny won. And Johnny won that golden fiddle. I'm not a internet looker-upper, whatever you want to call that. I looked up to see what that value of that golden fiddle would be, about what a fiddle would weigh. The value of that thing is $540,000 in gold, in today's gold. So to Johnny and to the devil, that song, $540,000 is what a soul is worth. Called Homer Simpson. Homer Simpson, he sold his soul one day to the devil, one of the shows, for a donut. A donut, a dollar's worth of donut. How much is a soul worth? What's the value of a soul? Again, I'm not good at looking things up on the internet, but I just decided to see if the internet could tell me what the value of a soul was. I found a specific website by the U.S. government under the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, called the Statistic Publisher. It's there. You can look it up. About it's called a VSL, Value of a Statistical Life, that the U.S. government puts an estimate on the value of a human life, one human life. And it blew my mind of what the value that the government... I want to go out and shoot myself if they'll pay me that. $8.6 million is what the U.S. government values your soul at, or values your life at. $8.6 million. How much is a soul worth to you? How much is a soul worth to me? A soul is rare. It's so rare, everybody only gets one. For your whole life, you only get one. You don't get to trade in and get another soul. You only got one. But that soul will live forever. Whether it be in a place called hell, that's in torment, as the man in Luke 16 says, I'm in torment in this flame. Place of fire. Place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Place of no light, says it's darkness. Place of no love. A place of no peace. That soul will exist forever. In that place called the lake of fire. I'm going to take a commercial break a minute. I'm going to give you my opinion. I don't give my opinion much. I try to stay with the Word of God. But we have a big round ball somewhere above us, maybe straight above us right now. It's almost 12, called the sun. It's a ball of fire. Now, a lot of people say, I'm going to go to hell and I'm going to have a party with all my friends because that's where all my friends are going. Well, you ain't going to be able to see them. You're not going to be able to know where they are. You're not going to be able to do them. There's going to be gnashing of teeth. And here's my opinion. There's billions of stars out there, just as our sun is a star. I believe each one of you that doesn't know Jesus Christ as your Savior going to live in a star. And you're going to burn and burn and burn and burn and burn and burn for an eternity in a place called the Lake of Fire. There's also a person there that's with you. I don't know. I can't get this into my opinion. But the devil's in the Lake of Fire also. And you want to live forever with the devil? Why? You try to avoid him in life, but yet you want to spend a lifetime, an eternity with him? That soul was created by God. It was so precious to him, not willing that any should perish, but that all might come to repentance. That's how precious that soul is to God. 1 John 4:10 says, herein is love, not that we loved him, but he loved us, and sent his son to be the propitiation, satisfaction of God's anger for us. So today, trust Jesus as your Savior before it's too late, before you lose your soul in a place called hell forever. Do we care? There was a man who wrote a song, no one cared for me like Jesus. Jesus cares so much. His birth was slandered. Babies lost their lives when he was born. He was threatened. They tried to kill him while he was still teaching here on earth. They convinced his disciple, Judas, to betray him. Within 3 years, hearing and seeing the power of Jesus Christ, he said, I'm going to betray you and turn you in for 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver. 30 bucks maybe? I don't know. They broke a lot of Jewish laws just to arrest him. They plucked his beard out. I don't know, a lot of the guys here have a beard. I don't know if you ever had anybody pull on that thing. It's not the best thing you want to happen. My daughter was born January 15th, 1988. I had a full beard. And I was 22 years old. My dad wouldn't let me grow a beard when I was at home, so when I got on my own, I got me a beard. That little baby, we were up dedicating her before church. She was like a week old. And if you've ever had a baby grab hold of something, you can't get it out. She latched on to that beard. Right there in front of everybody, I was almost at the point of tears. I couldn't get her to let go. You know what happened the next day? I shaved that thing off. It was gone. They plucked his beard out, not just pulled on it. They plucked it out. How much is a soul worth to you? Boy, what was it worth to Jesus? They put a crown of thorns on his head. They beat him to a pulp. They mocked him. His blood was shed. He hung on a cross. Isaiah says, yet he opened not his mouth. How much is a soul worth to us? Mark 8 says, what shall a man give for his own soul? What will he gain the whole world? I wrote something down. I hope it makes sense to you. If you were to gain the whole world, all the knowledge of all the universities, all the technology of all the computers, and now we have AI. Just another side note, there's a lot of AI Christians around also. You know what AI stands for, right? Artificial intelligence. There's a lot of those kind of Christians around. They act like a Christian. They carry the Bible. They come to church on Sunday morning, but Monday morning, who knows? If you were to get all the military power, all the gold that's in all the world, guess what? You couldn't keep it. 1 Corinthians 7:31, I wrote it down, for the fashion of this world passes away. Everything passes away. When it's hot, we want it cold. When it's cold, we want it hot. When it's wet, we want it dry. When it's dry, we want it wet. Man cannot be satisfied. They want more and more and more and more. I don't know who it was, but somebody asked a billionaire, how many more dollars do you need to make? Where's the cutoff on how many dollars you have in your possession? He said, just one more. Just one more dollar. Just one more dollar. What's the price of a soul? My pages got mixed up. But the loss of a soul. I got my Rogette's Thesaurus out. It's unmeasurable. It's irreplaceable. It's irreversible. A loss of a soul is inexcusable. Only thing that a soul is worth is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. He left the splendor of heaven, knowing His destiny was the only hill of Golgotha, there to lay down His life for me. If that isn't love, then there's no stars in the sky. The sparrow can't fly. If that isn't love, what's the price of a soul? The love of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have life everlasting. My soul, your soul, their soul is worth the blood of Jesus Christ. It's worth His life to shed on the cross for us. It's worth it for us to go out in the highways and byways and tell those about Christ. He did it all for me. Each drop of blood He shed for even me. When the Savior cried, bowed His head and died, He did it all for me. First of all, how much is a soul worth? Luke chapter 19. Luke 19:41. When He was come, talking about Jesus. When He was come near, He beheld the city and wept over it. How much of our tears is a soul worth? Psalms 126, you might know it. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his seed with him. Doesn't say he that goeth forth and baptizing, he that goeth forth and tell him good works, he that goeth forth, say, join the church. Bear the precious seed, the word of God. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. I'm 62 years old. Y'all didn't know that. Y'all thought I was like 30, didn't you? Ha! I've shed some tears in my life. Some because of pain. Some because of accidents. Some because of lost loved ones. Funerals. I hate funerals. I keep telling my wife, I don't know if she's going to have one or not, but funerals are hard. 3 or 4 or 5 days later after the person passes away, you go and get remembered again. Hey, they're gone. I don't want my wife to go through that. Just one time and he's gone. Let my life go on. So I hope we both go at the same time in a car wreck or rapture. I'm praying for 100 years old. I got 38 years to go. God has 38 years to give me. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. I've come to the conclusion that tears indicate something. Tears indicates one word, love. I've been to some funerals. Nobody cries. They're there. Oh, I need to go there for the family. Family doesn't even shed tears. Tears represent love. Do you love that person sitting next to you? Do you love your neighbor? Do you love the guy that you work with? Do you love that drunkard that's laying down in the gutter? I love my fingers, but if I hit them with a hammer, it's going to make me cry. Almost literal. So that's why I don't swing a hammer no more, because most of the time it's one time, and when I come back, it goes back to there somewhere. So nobody stands behind me because I don't have the strength in my hand to hold a hammer anymore. But I keep going. I don't know how many churches I've built, how many floors I've poured, how many shovelfuls I've shoveled, because God's given me the strength to keep on going. I'm going to keep grabbing a shovel. I'm going to keep grabbing a hammer. Just don't stand behind me, because I might lose it. My dad died 12 years ago, 4 days before Christmas. 4 months later, my mom was killed in a car wreck. I shed some tears. Not because I lost my money, Boy, that's going to sound weird. It's because I lost my mommy. My mommy and my daddy. It was rough. I've been to more funerals than I want to count. Recently, I was in one 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, in Las Cruces. I've been to some, not a tear was shed. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. There could be more lost souls getting saved if there were Christians down on their knees weeping over the mama that's lost, over the daddy that's lost, over their son, their daughter that's on their way to hell that they know they're not saved. More people would be getting saved if we would just weep over those lost people. How much is our tears worth of a soul? Here's your one you got to watch out for. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Second Corinthians 9:6, Bible tells us, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Verse 7, every man according to his, as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. I'm a missionary. Missionary needs money. How much of your giving is worth to a soul? How much is a soul worth in your giving? How much of your money is a soul worth? Luke 21, remember the little old lady, give the widow's mite. She gave way more than all those rich people. Hey, look, putting a $100 bill in the offering plate. Look, that's mine. I give it to the Lord. But then you got a little old lady walks up. Put the $2 bill in the offering plate and walks away. That's all she had. That was her whole thing for that month. That's all she had. How much of our giving is a soul worth to us? Oh, but preacher, I've got car insurance this month. I'll just give half of my donation, half of my faith promise. I've got to pay this car insurance or I'll get a fine. That's saying that soul's not worth it. That soul's not worth it. I've got to have car insurance. They can die and go to hell. But I would rather have car insurance. Ouch. He did say challenge for missions. There's a verse in the Bible. I don't know if you know who Sammy Allen is, but I grew up around Sammy Allen and camp meeting, and I've heard him, and at his camp meeting, there was 500 people there maybe. And a verse he used for the offering was Luke 6:38. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. So the offering plate would come up to the front, and he'd look at it, and it's about half full. He'd say, send it again. It ain't pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Sometimes he'd send it 3 or 4 times till the people in the audience just would feel guilty and obligated to put something in the offering plate. He had a big thing on teenagers, too, and I was there one summer teenager, and he'd have all the people under 18 come and stand at the front and tell the people in the audience to pay $50 to get these people out of the front so they can go back and sit down. Man, they were scattering like hotcakes. There was probably 100 kids up there in the front. People would pay $50 and they'd get them back to their seat. Guess who was the last one? Nobody come pay my $50. So I started pulling my wallet out. I had $50 in my wallet. I was going to pay myself out. He said, no, son, don't you do that. Somebody's got $50 for you. I think eventually somebody did. I don't remember who it was. I think it maybe even Brother Sammy did it. He said, you've been down here too long. I'm always the last but not least. How much is your giving worth to a soul? Yeah, I got more Bible. Acts chapter 8. It's 12 o'clock. But if you go to Arizona, it's only 11 o'clock. So we're on Arizona time, aren't we? That's why the wind's blowing. It's blowing Arizona time over here. Acts chapter 8. Only got 14 more pages. Acts 8 verse 25. You might know the story. Acts 8:25 says, "And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem, preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go to the south unto the way that goeth down to Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. Behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. And was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran hither to him. Philip didn't say, Well, wait a minute, Lord, I got to wait till I get off work. God, I'm eating my lunch. I got to get my coffee. Philip said, I need to get over there right now. Ran hither to him. Didn't leisurely stroll, does it? Says he ran. Heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said unto, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I? Except some man guide me. Some man should guide me. And he answered and desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was as a sheep, led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before shears, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. Isaiah 53. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Philip opened his mouth, began at the same scripture, and preached unto him water baptism. Doesn't say that, does it? Preached unto him good works. Preached unto him church membership. Preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, what does hinder? Here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, they mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. How much of our going is a soul worth to us? Will we get up into the chariot with the guy? Will we go where they are and tell them about Jesus Christ and his love? Get up out of our comfort zone and tell them about Jesus Christ? Are we willing to get out of our recliner and our favorite TV show that's on the television, that one-eyed monster, but now it's that, what's it called? Social media. There are all kinds of social media out there. Can we get away from that just for a minute and go tell somebody about Jesus Christ? Go where the Spirit tells us to go with confidence. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. Todo lo puede en Cristo que me fortaleza. Go. How much of our going is a soul worth to us? Is that soul worth going and telling them that Jesus left his comfort zone where angels worshiped him eternity past? And he says, I'm going down there and I'm going to die for these sinners because that's the only thing that can get them out of their sinful nature. It's for me to shed my blood. I can only imagine what the angels were thinking that day when they saw Jesus on the cross. They looked at God the Father and said, God the Father, let us go. We got to get him off the cross. Look at all that he's suffering because of these dirty, rotten sinners. God the Father says, No. You stay right here where you're at. This has to be done that they might have life everlasting. Is our going worth that soul? Are we going to sit on our blessed assurance and sing, I shall not be moved? Do we care enough to go? Uno más. One more. Acts chapter 20. You're still in 9, so go to 20. Acts chapter 20, verse number 21. No, 21 didn't make any sense. 31, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn every man, to warn everyone night and day with tears. Cease not. How much of our time is a soul worth to us? Acts 13 says it's time to awake out of sleep. Time is precious. Takes a licking and keeps on ticking. Time cannot be replaced. This second is gone. This second is gone. You can't get it back. Time isn't the main thing. Time is the only thing. It is not that we have a short time to live, but that we waste most of it. Is our time worth a soul? Benjamin Franklin said, "You may delay, but time will not. You may wait till tomorrow to tell that lost person about Jesus Christ, but time won't." Let me give you a story. 30 years ago, we started a church in La Modelo. We were there a year or two, and a 13-year-old girl got saved. Alma Gayton Fuentes. No, she was saved. Started serving the Lord about 17 years old. She got away from God for one little mistake, and she got pregnant. She come back to God crying, stayed with us for a while. We helped her best as we could. She did marry the guy, at least. Son was 2 years old. He was riding a four-wheeler with his uncle. The uncle was playing around, lost the brakes on the four-wheeler, headed at a mesquite bush. You know what mesquite bush have? They have thorns. He throwed the little two-year boy off and turned around and hit that mesquite bush, 21 years old, hit him right in the middle of his back, paralyzed him from the waist down. 21 years old, got mad at God. That little two-year-old boy broke his ankle, ended up in Deming, New Mexico, because of an emergency, they can come across the border not having any papers. I met them there at the hospital, prayed with her, stayed there most of the night with that little boy and that girl. 2 years later, she had a little girl called Paula. 5 years later, she had a little girl called Diana. I can never pronounce it. D-A-Y-A-N-A. She got away from God again. She left her husband. I guess had an affair with another guy and moved to Torreon, about 8 hours south of where we are. Was down there, been down there the whole time. Left her kids in La Modelo. Her son was 18, daughter 16. Got a message from her on the way up here yesterday. So pray for me, brother. My son and his dad were killed in a car wreck yesterday. 18 years old. The dad, I think, was 35, killed in a car wreck. She's back in Modelo right now. Pray that I can get down there somehow and be a help to her. We don't know time. How precious is your time? What I've told the boy about Jesus Christ. But he was macho. I'm tough. I don't need to get saved. I've got all my life ahead of me. He didn't know that when he's 18 years old, he was going to die. As far as I know, he didn't get saved. Neither did his dad. I witnessed to his dad so many times, rejected so many times. But his blood's not on my hands. I've told him. Even the one that has his back broke. Mad at God. Won't even listen to me anymore. I've got him to church a few times before we went to Hanos, but he won't listen. How much is your time precious to that soul? That one that might die tomorrow. You don't know. That's why missionaries go. That's why the preacher preaches about God. That's why he has an invitation. That's why we have tracts to pass out. That person don't die and go to hell without Christ. For an eternity to live with a person called the devil? Everyone has the same second. How much is that second of value to us? The World Death Clock. There's a website called World Death Clock. It's about 5 or 6 people a second die. That's 4.5 million people a month. Die. It's 56 million people die a year. 25% of them, they say, is Christian. 75% of 56 million people die and go to hell. How much is what is the value of a soul to you? Let's all stand as the pastor comes. I'm going to pray. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, today is the day of salvation, 2 Corinthians 6:2. Now is the accepted time. Don't leave this place today without knowing Jesus Christ. If you are a Christian, how much is the value of a soul to you? Is mama and daddy, brother, sister, grandson, granddaughter precious enough that you want to tell them Jesus saves? You want to show them from the Bible how they can go to heaven? Quit not telling them. Keep telling them about Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you give us this time. Lord, use your word today. Help me to do what you want me to do each and every day. Thank you for this church, and Lord, if for someone here today doesn't know you as their precious Savior, Lord, that they would call upon you before it's too late, Lord, that they would realize what it means to be saved, that they know how hot hell could be. Lord, just touch them a little bit with how hot hell would, and they would realize they need to call upon you today. Lord, as Christians, help us to realize how hot hell is. Lord, we don't want our friends and families to go to that place. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.